Hello, CCCB. So glad I can be here with you for the next 3 days to go through and join you the Missions Conference. Even though I cannot be here in person, but through this high-tech method, I can be with you through pre-recorded message. I wish I could be there in person, but due to COVID, that can't happen for now. And also, I'll be speaking also in Zoom to your Mandarin congregation as well. So I'm very thankful for this opportunity to join you at your Missions Conference and to share God's message with you. Now, we know that COVID certainly threw a loop for all of us and has caused a lot of troubles and a lot of sufferings, as well as put a lot of stuff on hold. And it causes us to have to be more creative, such as Missions Conference online. And so I'm glad that we can do it through this method. And also, that even though COVID puts a lot of stuff on hold, it seems, we know as followers of Jesus that Jesus Christ, his gospel, his mission, his purpose for this earth, for us, is not on hold. He's in control. He's in charge. We may need to be more prayerful, more creative, but he continues to want to and able to use you and I for his purpose. And that's what we're going to look at the next few days. Now, before we go into the Word of God today and go into the first message, I just want to introduce my family to you. As you can see here in the slides, that these are my kids and my wife and our dog. We have four boys and two girls. Some of them are in college, some of them are working now, some of them are at home. And this picture is taken about two and a half years ago when they celebrated my 50th birthday. So now you know how old I am. And also at that time, we didn't have our dog. So we got our dog, Suki, recently. And so she is a three-year-old Australian cattle herder mixed with a Jack Russell Terrier. And so I put her picture here in with our picture. It looks like she's smiling, squinting her eyes and smiling. I'm not sure what she was doing, but you know, let's just say that she's smiling. But in any case, this is my family and my dog. And hopefully we can meet in person someday in the future. Now, the first message today, in fact, this whole weekend, we're going to look at what does it mean to live missionally. And so the first message today, we're going to look at how to live a missional life. What does it mean to live missionally and how to live a missional life from Acts 1:8. Now, the word mission or missional sometimes may cause a lot of confusion. Well, what does that mean to live missionally? Do you have to be a missionary in a traditional sense, you know, go overseas? Well, that's could be part of it, but it's broader than that as well. It's for every Christians. So what does that mean to live missionally? Now, when you think of the word missional or the word mission, what comes to mind? Maybe if you're a movie buff like me, you think of the Mission Impossible movies, right? There's, I think, six of them all together by Tom Cruise, and who's a spy, a secret agent. And every time the movie begins with him being given a mission, an assignment, and it usually says, now, this mission, if you choose to accept. Now, of course, he always accept the mission. He always carry out the mission that he was given. And so when you think of the word mission, maybe you think of Mission Impossible, you know, like that, some secret clandestine project or assignment that you need to carry out. Well, not quite maybe as secret like Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, but it does mean to carry out an assignment, you know. So a mission, the way we would define it here, is that it is an important assignment or task carried out for greater purpose. Mission is an important assignment or task carried out for greater purpose. It's not just something we do on a whim or we do kind of for ourselves, but a mission really should be something that's important, as assignment or a task or goal that carried out for greater purpose. So in turn, then missional living missionally, will mean to live our lives in such a way that we consistently and intentionally make that mission, that assignment, our top priority. And you can also say this means to live a purposeful life. Missional living means to live a purposeful life for a particular goal, an assignment, mission. Now, in the Bible, we also see some examples of people or group of people or individuals who live purposefully for God, who live missionally. In Acts 13:36, we see that Peter, when he was preaching, he talked about King David. He says, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his father." And Peter was saying that King David, you know, while he's alive on earth, he served the purpose of God in his generation. What an amazing statement. What a wonderful statement. I wish that could be said of you and of me, that we, while we live on this earth, we serve God's purpose in our generation, that we made a difference for God in our generation. We didn't waste our lives. You know, that would be such an amazing and important statement that God can be said of us. And then in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, we also see that a group of people, a man of Issachar, the leaders of that particular group, was listed. This was a list of people who were heroes and fighters and soldiers and generals that followed King David. It says, "Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command." We see here that it described this group of people, the men of Issachar. They understood what time it is and they knew what must be done. Okay. That's so important. You know, we go through our life not blindly, being busy about so many things or just trying to entertain ourselves to death. But God has called us to live a purposeful life, to make a difference with him, for him. And the men of Issachar, you know, is an example for us to know, to look at our surrounding, to know what time it is, to know what's happening around us, and to know what we ought to do to make a difference. A more modern example, many years ago, my church, the church I served at that time, we arranged a study trip to Israel. We went to visit many of the biblical sites in Israel and study on site the different stories in the Bible. And we took a break one day and went to the more modern part of Israel, of Jerusalem, and there's a street called Ben Yehuda Street. Now, I don't know why that caught my attention, but I noticed the sign, took a picture, you know, Ben Yehuda Street. Who is Ben Yehuda? Did they name the street after him? Do you know who he is? Well, I tried to look him up. Now, by the way, this is also a picture of Ben Yehuda Street. It's very modern, full of shops and restaurants and music, and very crowded at that time. This is before COVID. And, you know, the street was very busy, very popular. But who is Ben Yehuda? So I looked him up, and he's this dude, okay? Looks pretty old, black and white photo. Who is he? Now, he is an example of a person who lived missionally. His full name is Eliezer Ben Yehuda. He is the author of the first modern Hebrew dictionary, and he's known as the reviver of the Hebrew language. You see, before he had this mission and carried out this mission for his life, the Hebrew language was almost dead. I mean, you know, Jewish people around the world at that time, some of them could speak Hebrew, but they don't speak Hebrew. They speak whatever the local language they happen to live at. If they're in Poland, they spoke Polish. If they're in England, they spoke English, and so on. But he had a sense of urgency. He felt like he had a mission to bring back the Hebrew language, to give the Jewish people, you know, their own language back, to truly be a united nation around their own language again. And so he had a sense of mission to bring back the Hebrew language. Now, when we walked around Israel in Jerusalem, we also went to the Holocaust Museum. It was a very somber, very sobering, and sacred place. But there was a garden in the Holocaust Museum, and there were many trees. And under each tree, there's these little plaques of people's names. And this garden had a name. The garden is called the Garden of the Righteous, the Garden of the Righteous. Well, this garden was to commemorate people who are not Jewish people by birth. They're called Gentiles, the righteous Gentiles. These are people in history who spent an inordinate amount of energy, resource, even risking their lives to save the Jewish people. At different times in different place. And so there was a tree, and two trees. Under the two trees, there was a plaque that says Oscar and Emily Schindler from Germany, of all places. Right? The German Nazis were the one who started the Holocaust, tried to exterminate and kill the Jewish people. But here is a couple from Germany being commemorated in the Garden of the Righteous. Now, if you've seen the movie Schindler's List, You know the story. It's a true story about a German businessman. Now, Liam Neeson, the actor, played the real Oscar Schindler. He was a German businessman who had a sense of mission that he wanted to save as many Jewish people as possible from the Nazis. You know, and he spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy, even risking his life and in danger to save the Jewish people. So he's commemorated in the Garden of the Righteous. And here's another man with a clear sense of mission. Even with lots of resource cost and danger, he carried out the mission because he believed in it and he lived purposefully for it. Now, as a Christian, we not only should live purposefully and missionally, we should make sure that that purpose is in alignment with God's purpose for us. It's from God, right? So as followers of Jesus, we must live missionally with individual, customized mission from God and also the overall mission of Jesus. In fact, many years ago, there was a very popular book by Pastor Rick Warren called Purpose-Driven Life. Maybe you read it, maybe you used it. And it's a very helpful book to help us to live purposefully. And in the book, Purpose-Driven Life, I think now it's called What on Earth Am I Here For? It's a great question to ask. You need to ask that question and know the answer to that question, or else you'll be wasting the life that God's given you. So in the Purpose-Driven Life, he lists the five purposes. And in purpose number five, he says, you and I were created for a mission. See, there's that word again. You and I were created for a mission. And what is this mission? What is our individual purpose and our overall mission from Jesus? Well, in Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we shall walk in them. See, here, we many of us should know as Christians, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for you have been, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Right? Talk about how it is by purely by God's mercy, kindness, and compassion that he saved us from our sins, that he sent his son Jesus to die for you and for me on the cross, and that we are now reconciled to God as his children. And here in Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, redeemed by Jesus, recreated in Christ Jesus, and we become his masterpiece, his workmanship. In fact, the word workmanship in the original Greek is poema, where we get the English word poem from. So you can say that God is seeing you and I as poems that he's writing. A beautiful poem, maybe some poems are not quite done yet, it's only in draft form. But in any case, he is the master designer, writer, that he writes you and me like a poem, his story and his purpose in our lives. God prepared good works beforehand, customized things for you and I to do to make a difference for him, that we should walk in them. But Acts 1:8, which we'll look at more detail later, is that it's the overarching purpose. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, as a follower of Jesus, there's this overarching mission. In fact, some of us call the Great Commission. Most of us know Great Commission from Matthew 28, to ask us to go and make disciples of all nations. But in fact, actually, the Great Commission is recorded five times in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We'll look at that, unpack that more later, but here, at least we see that God wants to empower us so that we can be his witnesses, that we can carry out his mission. So with all that in mind, we can then come to this definition. Our primary mission from God is an invitation from God to us to join him in the task of taking his good news of true forgiveness, true freedom, true fulfillment, healing, hope, and peace to all the peoples of the world by our words and by our actions. You know, humankind, throughout human history, we're desperately in need of that freedom, true fulfillment, true forgiveness, true hope and peace, especially even now as we look at this country and this world, when all the injustice, all the unrest and conflict, and all the disasters, it's all because we have drifted away from God and his purpose. We all have walked away, rejected God, and we need to be reconciled to God. And God's inviting you and me in his primary mission to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands and feet, to take his good news from forgiveness, of freedom, of fulfillment to all the peoples of the world. So therefore, missional living then as a Christian is to live out our lives in such a way to consistently and intentionally making God's mission our top priority. Not just a missions conference, not just once in a while, but to consistently and intentionally live our lives, making God's mission our top priority any way possible. And we'll look at some examples later as well in this week, weekend. So we're going to look at two main points. How do we live a life that's fueled by God's mission? But then also, how do we live out this mission of God, fueled by his life? Because you see, it's not enough to have the right mission and purpose, because you and I cannot do it on our own. But with the right mission and purpose from God, he also gave us himself, his presence, his empowering presence through the Holy Spirit, so that we can carry out this mission fueled by his life. Now let's pray again, ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you for giving us this purpose, this mission to partner with you. We know you don't need us, but in your gracious kindness, you are including us in this great mission that matters for eternity, to where we can make a difference with our lives. And thank you, not only did you give us this mission, you gave us yourself, your power, so that we can carry out this mission. So help us now to see what that means and help us to live missionally. First, a little bit of background from Acts 1. Acts 1 is written by Luke. The whole book of Acts is written by Luke, and he also wrote the Gospel of Luke. So he said here, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he has given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostle whom he has chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So you see that Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Acts. First, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. He was writing to someone named Theophilus. Theophilus means the lover of God. Now, he said, I'm writing a historical record, historical account. First, in the Gospel of Luke, about all the things that Jesus began to do. He was God. He was Son of God. He came to earth, became man, and carried out God's mission. And then he fulfilled it. He died on the cross for our sins. He came back to life. And so he wants us to know that Jesus' resurrection is an absolute historical truth. And he presented himself alive and he gave proof to many people. And then he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God simply means God's leadership, God's rulership, that God is coming to earth to reestablish his leadership. We screwed up, messed up our life, messed up this world by rejecting his leadership. But through Jesus, he's coming to bring forgiveness and reconciliation so that the whole world can be reconciled to him and the whole world can be under his loving, almighty, all good leadership once again. And that's the kingdom of God. And then he says, while staying with them, while Jesus was resurrected, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we see that Jesus told the disciples, later who became the apostles, the sent messengers, the missionaries, Jesus told them, wait, because, you know, keep praying, keep waiting. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and then you will be on your way to carry out my mission. So in verse 6 and 7, when the disciples heard that, they responded asking Jesus questions. When they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So you see that the disciples being Jewish, and the Jewish people were under the Roman Empire's rule at that time. So they want to overthrow that. They want to find earthly political freedom. So they asked Jesus, you know, the disciples still didn't quite get what Jesus' mission was about yet. So the disciple asked them at the time a very politically and ethnically self-centered question. And we are like that. Before we judge them, we're often like that. We want to know what's going on. We want to do things kind of in a very self-centered way. And so they asked this question, Lord, are you going to restore Israel, the kingdom of Israel? But Jesus told them, no. God's plan for Israel is not for you to know, but God's plan for you right now is for you to know and carry out. So Jesus wanted to focus their attention from being self-centered to be gospel-centered, to be Christ-centered, and to be world-centered. And how you and I need that too. Sometimes we are so busy and so caught up with our self-centered purpose, even sometimes serving at church. You know, as a pastor, sometimes, you know, whether you're a pastor, deacon, or elder, or just a member of the church, sometimes we can be so focused on doing that little corner of our ministry, which is good. We want to serve God. But sometimes because we're so focused on that ministry, it becomes very self-centered and that ministry center versus really understand how does this ministry in my life fit in the bigger picture of God's mission. And we must lift our head up and wake up and let Jesus speak to us again. So with this background, then Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus turned their attention to a Christ and mission-centered view rather than a self-centered view. Many of us need to do that today, to have a Christ and his mission-centered view. And what is that? That is to be empowered by his Holy Spirit, to empower by himself, to become living witnesses of Jesus to the entire world. And what is a witness? Witness is a legal term at that time when it was used in the writing. It's a person who can give evidence to testify to an event or a person because he or she has firsthand knowledge, firsthand experience, from personal observation and experience. You know, just like in the court of law, you can only be a witness if you personally seen or heard and experience something or someone. You know, and that's a witness. We are called to be a personal witness, as people who know, experience the good news of Jesus, and then we can tell people about it. So we are called then to proactively and intentionally, or consistently, proactively, intentionally, to show and tell to others about the life-transforming good news of Jesus. You know, my kids, when they're little in school, I'm sure many of you probably done it too. You know, in school you have the show and tell, right? You bring something to show and to tell about it. I remember one of my son, when he was little, he brought a remote control. He wanted to bring his remote control car to do a show and tell. But unfortunately, right before the day of his show and tell, he couldn't find the remote control car. So he was so distraught, he decided to ask me to print out a picture of that remote control car and bring the picture. And then sure enough, he was very unhappy because some of the kids in his class said, "Well, how do I know you really have that car? You just show me a picture. Anybody can print out a picture," right? So truly show and tell is to have the real thing, you know, and to show who Jesus is through our lives, and to tell who Jesus is so that they can hear the gospel. And God is calling you and I to proactively, intentionally, to show and tell. And that is the mission, to be a witness. Now, of course, this mission also has its scope. It says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Right? Simultaneously, locally, regionally, to globally. Our Jerusalem, even though we don't live in Israel, but we can think of our Jerusalem as our local immediate circle, our immediate context, neighborhood, you know, Baltimore, or your particular neighborhood in Baltimore. Judea and Samaria is regionally, it's a larger surrounding context, regionally, you know, outside of your particular county, and so on. And then three, I included Judea and Samaria in two, but then lastly is the ends of the earth, and which is globally, to expand our heart and our mind, our eyes to a greater context of the whole world. That God so loved the whole world. He loves you and I individually, but he also loved the whole world, and he wants to give us a mission to the world. Now, to give you some maybe more concrete example from our church, the church I serve at CBCM Maryland. So locally, okay, our Jerusalem, God has brought many internationals to right where we are. We don't even need to go overseas to bring the gospel to people from other nations or other ethnicities. So locally, there's an international organization called ISI, International Students, Inc., and they're a Christian organization that its goal is to bring the gospel of Jesus, that same mission, to international students coming to the U.S. And so there's a brother in our church, a brother and sister, a couple, Han and Carol. He was in IT, and he was in our church as a member. Both of them were, and his family. And then they felt God's call for them to actually do something more than what they've been doing. They've been serving in church faithfully, but they felt God's call and they responded to God's call for mission. And so he went to seminary and then he became a missionary for ISI locally. Right? He didn't go overseas, but here at Montgomery College, one of the local community college, there are many international students. So he started a ministry reaching the international students. And in this picture, you see not only the international students, and there's a lot of volunteers. And some of the volunteers in this picture are from CBC and from our church. They're engineers, they're doctors, they're homemakers. You know, they didn't become a full-time ministry like Han and Carol, but they partner with Han and Carol to locally in our own Jerusalem, reaching people with the gospel, especially the international students. And then moving on to maybe a more personal experience, I won't go too long here about this, but just want to share with you how God helped me to join his mission personally in a local international way. When I was in my previous church in Pittsburgh, you know, we reach out to international students, and here you see next to me is someone named Mehdi, and he was a PhD from a student at Carnegie Mellon from Iran. And because I graduated from Carnegie Mellon and I was pastoring a church on the campus of Carnegie Mellon, and so I got to know him through different activities, and we went to baseball games. I introduced him what American baseball game is, and we talked about all kinds of stuff from food to sports to life to family. And then little by little, you know, we had that relationship and we built that trust. And I invited him to our Christmas event, and he was very curious about Jesus, even though he was a devout Muslim. He said, you know, I want to know more about this Jesus. So we spent time for almost about 2 years. We studied the Bible, go through the Gospel of John, and you know, and he told me that at the end, you know, when I left to move to Maryland, he did not become a Christian yet, but he says, you know, thank you for the time we spent, for your friendship, because you're really the only friend I have as an international student. And I was happy and sad to hear that, because he's been a PhD student 5-6 years, but no one reached out to him to befriend him, you know, and thankfully God used me and gave me that sense of mission to do so. And then he said to me, thank you for showing me who Jesus is. Even though I still can't believe him as God, but you have shown to me that Jesus is a greater prophet, even greater prophet than Muhammad. Now for a Muslim to say that, that's already a lot. And then we still kept in touch, and we're trying to do Zoom online talks and chats and Bible studies. So hopefully one day he will become a follower of Jesus. Now, regionally, as I mentioned, Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, right? It's a greater region. So for our church, we prayed and looked around, who can we partner with and how can we serve God, take his mission regionally? And so there's a Peace City Church. Some of you may heard of their church. Pastor Eric So, the Korean-American pastor, you can see in the slides, he's kind of in the middle. And he assembled a diverse team. He felt God's call, that he saw that in the PG, Prince George's County, there was a lot of refugees coming in from Sudan, from Afghanistan, from Syria, and so on. And most of them are living in this particular kind of rundown apartment complex. And he felt that sense of mission, the call from God to move. He brought his whole family, you know, to his two young kids to live in this not-so-clean apartment complex, to live among the refugees, to serve them, and eventually he planted a church called Peace City Church among them. He's still serving there right now, and it's growing, and it's diverse, and it's a wonderful example of God's love for all peoples. And so our church got to know him, and we start partnering with him in different projects, you know, regionally. So PG County is not too far from Rockville, so we will go there and we will partner with them financially, human resource wise, project wise, to give out school bags to back to school materials to the refugee kids, to do crafts and play soccer, do different things in the name of Jesus, and to share with them God's love. Now, we also, when you thought about regionally, you know, in terms of Samaria, you know, overseas, but overseas, sometimes we go overseas and we're still doing ministries that's a similar culture, you know, like a lot of Chinese diaspora, a Chinese student ministry around the world. So we partner with a particular group called ECM, European Campus Ministry. Their goal is to start in Germany, because a lot of Chinese students from China going there, to reach them for Jesus, plant churches among them, and then train them and send them out as missionaries to other parts of Europe or back to China. And so I was fortunate enough to go there and to speak at some of their conferences, and our church is partnering with them, again, financially, human resource-wise. And you see some picture here that they have a baptism outdoor. They had a student gathering that I was there. And you see that some of these people on the top right, some of these people are from Atlanta, Georgia, from Maryland, from Michigan, and some of them took early retirement because they felt the sense of call from God. They took early retirement so that they can move to Germany and live there from 3 months to 6 months to be sort of the uncle and aunts or the grandpa and grandmas to care for the students with God's love and to help the students come to know Jesus. You know, and some churches like our church, you know, a strategy they have is to purchase either rent or purchase a building, like an apartment building with a few bedrooms near or on campus, and that become the Chinese Student Gospel Center, and where a student can come for Bible study. You see at the bottom left, a picture is one of the student center, and we rented a student center for them, for ECM, and partner with them to reach the student at a particular university called Woodsboro. And the Woodsboro University ministry just started, and we're seeing students coming to know Christ with their missionary there. And we also send our people there on short-term, medium-term, and hopefully in the future, long-term missions to be there doing this work in our Samaria, our kinsmen, our similar culture people. And then, of course, there's the ends of the earth. Now, here, the picture I'm showing you to the left is a long prayer scroll. If you went to the Chinese Missions Convention 2019 last year, hopefully if you're on the English side, you participated in this. We had a prayer scroll that listed every single unreached people group. Some are unreached, some are unreached, unengaged people group. That means these are the ethnical groups around the world, in the whole world, that have no Christian there, no gospel, no Bible, no church there. And they listed these people there, and we just knelt down and prayed for these people. Right? We start out by praying, and prayer can capture our heart for God's heart, for the lost, especially these unreached people group. And then to the right is a picture of a great speaker and missionary named Wayne Chen. I had an opportunity to meet him and took a photo with him. And he and his family felt that same sense of call from God. But in their case, they were going to the ends of the earth. They went to a particular people group called the BM people, B-I-E-M, the BM people group in Papua New Guinea. And when they went, they never even seemed outsiders, and much less the gospel. But after many trials and many suffering and many efforts and prayers and tears, now the BM people, many of them are believers, and they have their own church, their own pastors, because God used Wayne and his family responding to his call, carried his mission to the BM people in Papua New Guinea, to the ends of the earth. So you see that our mission to be a witness for Jesus goes from our own local Jerusalem to our Judea regionally, to Samaria, across the ocean and other parts of the world, and to the ends of the earth. And each of us has a part to play. Now, not only, though, do we need to live this mission out, but the only way we can live this mission out effectively is to live out this mission fueled by his life. In the same verse, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. See, without the power of God's presence and God's Spirit, we can't do this. We won't want to do it, and we won't be able to do it. So our witness for Jesus must have the power of the Holy Spirit to showcase the life of Jesus, right? Not our own measly, weak power, but the power of God, even though we're imperfect. But we can clearly and consistently show the grace of Jesus that makes a difference in our lives, especially in our weakness. Just like this picture of a fountain. I don't know if you've seen this kind of fountain. The water goes from underground, goes all the way up to the top, and then it sprays out and overfills the first tier, then it overflows to the second and the third, right? I think this is a good picture of what a healthy Christian life looks like. That as my relationship with God, my relationship with Jesus grow closer and closer, the overflow of his presence, overflow of his power in my life, overflow to the people around me, to my Jerusalem, to my Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, other parts of Acts shows us the power of the Spirit. Right? When God's church were praying together, they were persecuted and imprisoned. But they came together and prayed. It says, after they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So our witness is Spirit empowered to give us courage and boldness to speak, to show and tell his gospel. And in Galatians 5, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is not some bunch of rules and regulations that we have to kind of work out on our own. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit taking the characteristic of Jesus and begin to develop in our lives. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And he says, against such thing, there's no law, because it's not through the law rules to make this happen. It's through the Holy Spirit. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit empower you and me, then we can really show, not just tell, but we will have the courage to tell, but we will also have the truthful, authentic life to show that God can transform a broken life, a weak life like ours, like mine, like yours. So our witness must display the supernatural life of Jesus Christ. In fact, the opposite is also true. You know, some people sadly say, you know, jokingly, but also to me very sadly, said that, you know, then one of the number one pastime hobby of Chinese churches or Korean churches is church split. And that's terrible. It breaks God's heart when people can't get along. We are supposed to be followers of Jesus to show the fruit of the Spirit of love, of humility, but instead we split. You know, in fact, there's a book called Too Valuable to Lose, and it was doing a study, research on why missionaries leave the field, why missionaries leave their field and they no longer want to be missionaries. And they found that one of the top reasons for missionaries leaving the field is not persecution, it's not the non-Christian, is conflict that they can resolve between them and other fellow teammates, other missionaries. And that must not be. That's why Jesus said, let the Holy Spirit empower you, not just to speak the gospel with boldness, but let the power of the Holy Spirit transform your life and my life in such a way that we live out the character of Jesus in love and humility and unity, and that will draw people to him. So how can we be empowered by the Holy Spirit? That's a whole, can be a whole nother sermon, but just some thoughts for you to think about. One, you know, if you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, well, then commit to the mission of Jesus. Because it says that you will be my witnesses. And if you'll be my witnesses, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you. So, you know, if we want to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, one of the best ways to do it is to be committed to the mission of Jesus and see what he does in your life. There's so many stories I could tell you, but we don't have the time right now. But maybe in the next few days, I'll share some amazing story that we experience by God's power. And also, we can be filled by the Spirit if we grow in intimacy with God, right? As we continue to spend time with him in our devotion life, in our daily walk with him, in prayer, in reading his word, in drawing near to him, then his Spirit will be more and more connected and empower us. And also, we can pray and ask, right? We say, Jesus, you promised to give us the Holy Spirit to be your witness, so I'm asking you to fill me. I know I already have the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit, empower me to be a good witness for Jesus and his mission. And they're also living out by faith, living out trusting Jesus and obeying him. You will grow in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said himself in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bear much fruit. So we need to abide, be closely connected with him so that the power of his Spirit can flow through us for his mission. So are you ready to commit to a life fueled by the mission of Jesus? Are you ready to stop wasting your life or have a very self-centered view, but be Christ-centered and his mission focused to have a life that's fueled, that make a difference, make it count, serve your generation for God by the mission of Jesus? And are you ready to carry out this mission fueled by the powerful Holy Spirit life of Jesus? I hope you are, because that's the best way, only way to truly live. Now, you as we bring this to a close, you may still say, well, you know, that may be for you, pastor, or for other missionary, and it's not for me. Well, let me give you a few examples as we wrap this session up. I read about this older lady who is living in a retirement home, and because of her health, she really can't go out much, and she just spent a lot of time in the retirement home. But she also was a believer in Jesus, and she knew her mission is not done until the Lord takes her home to heaven. So, you know, she shared how she felt like she asked the Lord, how can I be your witness right here, right now? And then God gave her idea. Not only was she being a witness to the other senior citizens and the nurse and the doctors there, but she had an idea. So, you know, she put an ad out and put into a local prison. And that's right, the local prison where the prisoners are. And she said, you know, basically ad's very simple and very cute. She said, would you like a grandma as a pen pal? And she said, you know, if you write to me, I promise I'll write back to you. And somehow she got that idea through and made it happen. And so she had boxes and boxes of letter from inmates in prison writing her, and she will write them and comfort them, encourage them, tell them how much she loves them and how much God loves them. Even though she never met them, she said, you know, because of Jesus, I have this love for you, and I'm writing you as an ambassador of Jesus to tell you that God did not give up on you. God loves you. And many inmates, I'm sure, came to know Jesus through her letter writing, through her witness of the mission of God to the prison through her letters. And then also I read about this German farmer. He's a farmer. He knows how to farm very well, but didn't have any other education. And he shared that he became a missionary in a unique way. He asked God, he was a Christian who wanted to make a difference, who wanted to join the mission of God. So he prayed and said, God, how can I be a witness for you? Not just locally, but to the ends of the earth. You know, is that possible? Would you bring me to the ends of the earth? And so amazingly, he had an opportunity. He read about or heard about this opportunity where he can go and share his farming skills, his cattle herding, cattle raising skills to a group he never even heard of, a minority tribe in China. But he went. And more than once, he got hooked, and he went several times. And then people there asked him, why do you spend so much time and money, your own money and time here, to show us how to farm better? And he would say, well, because the love of Jesus Christ changed my life, and it can change your life. And he sent me as ambassador to come help you practically, but also to show you the way to true life through Jesus. And then lastly is a more person I know quite well personally. He's now in heaven with the Lord. His name is Bill Ott. He is a dentist. In fact, he was my dentist when he was alive on earth. He's a great dentist, great friend, a great mentor, and also he was an elder in my previous church. And Dr. Willem Ott, his story was pretty amazing. I remember having him as a dentist, but I could never get an appointment with him during the summer months. You know, and he told me why, because he closed his dental office for 2 or 3 months every summer. Now imagine if you're a dentist or a doctor, to close your office for 3 months, you can lose a lot of business. But he felt that sense of mission from God. He wanted to live missionally. So what does he do? He closes his dental office for 3 months every year, and he spent literally tens of thousands of dollars, his own money, to purchase x-ray machines, dental equipment, dental chairs, and he shipped them, cost him more money, to places. He would spend those months either in the Congo, other parts of Africa, in China, in Thailand, in Southeast Asia. And he will go there by invitation, workout invitation, to teach the local dental students. And then he will also provide free clinics in the local villages. And then through that, he can show them and tell them about the love of Jesus, about the gospel. You know, and he did this every year for many, many years. And he says, you know, yes, I lost a lot of business, but God always provided. And I feel much more connected with God living this missional life for God. He was a father, a husband, a dentist, a brother in Christ, an elder, but he also was a person who lived a missional life for the Lord. And that can be true for you and for me. In fact, that must need to be true for you and for me. So are you willing? Are you ready to live a missional life? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you called us, and you not only forgiven us and gave us freedom and fulfillment, but you give us this new life to live missionally for you, to make a difference from our Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So show each of us, just like that older lady, that farmer or this dentist or others, that how we can be more aligned with your mission and turn our life, our family, our practice, our purpose to align with your purpose and your mission. And so use us, we pray, for your glory. Help us to make a difference in our generation for your gospel. Help us not to waste the life that you have given us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, have a good night. We'll see you in our next session.